Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's in the 1950s. Scotty Bowers, a former Marine, is working as a gas jockey on Hollywood Boulevard, who stumbles on an untapped market. Sex with the stars. They wanted young men, and they were willing to pay for it, 20 bucks a pop. Soon, he was turning tricks, invited into the mansions of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, Charles Laughton, George Cukor, Lana Turner, and Cary Grant. But Scotty was also discreet and kept Hollywood secrets safe from the gossip rags. Until the stars were long gone, then wrote it all down in a tell-all book. Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood is a new feature documentary which had its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. Directed by noted documentary filmmaker Matt Turnauer, it probes Scotty's history and tells the secrets and brings it up to date to the present day. In L.A., and I'm very pleased to have Matt Turnauer and the legendary Scotty Bowers himself here to tell us more about the secret history of Hollywood. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi, Scotty.
Hi.
I'm so happy you could, I could meet you here. So, Scotty, I know you've told this story many times, but I wonder if you could tell me about the first time at the gas station.
The first time I fixed someone up?
Yes.
The first time was after I'd been there just a couple days, and I had buddies hanging around who didn't have a dime, you know. And I remember a guy that I knew came and said, Jesus, he's a nice-looking guy. I'd love to take him out to dinner. And, of course, went through my mind right away, fuck dinner. He doesn't have a dime. Why don't you just give him 20 bucks and get with him? That's what you really want to do anyhow. Why fool around with a dinner and drinks?
Get right to the point. And eventually you began to use the station itself as a place to for you and your friends to turn tricks.
Eventually, within a day or two.
Within a day or two.
Okay. Of that, I was doing it right away.
Where?
At the station.
In the washroom?
No. In the washroom, oddly enough, a friend of mine had a big house trailer that entered from the center with two king-size beds at each end with a separation. And he said to me, he gave me $50 a month to park it up in the back lot under a tree, and you could hardly see it, even though it was a big trailer. And he said, go ahead and use it whenever you want to do it. I had that thing going day and night.
For how many years?
That trailer was there for about 5 years.
And no
because
one ever...
He was always out on location. Every time he'd come back from location and think we're going to make a little trip, naturally the studio has another picture going and they take the same crew out. So he was always gone and never using the trailer.
Oh, so it's like a movie trailer.
No, it wasn't a movie trailer, but he was from the studio and went. This was his own personal trailer.
So I'm curious, like, was the owner of the gas station in the know about what was going on?
It was a company station, and the guy that ran it, his name was Bill Booth, and he lived way out in Englewood with a wife and two kids. So when he left the station at night, he went out never to return.
Oh, so this was after closing?
Yeah. Oh. No, I could stay open as long as I wanted.
Oh, okay.
Meaning I could keep it open till 2 in the morning, midnight, 1 o'clock, depending how, if there's any business, you know. And gas, remember, gas is only 25 cents a gallon. And half the people can't bought $1 worth of gas.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
So they're happy with that.
Yeah. Well, they were spending $20 on something else, though.
So. Yeah, well, that's true.
So, Matt, why was secrecy so important in this era?
People had to live double lives then. I mean, it's so hard now in an era of equality, marriage equality in so many places, to remember that being gay was considered to be shameful, if not illegal, in the whole world, really. Hollywood being no exception. Hollywood's always been a permissive and liberal place, but the official codes of Hollywood after the war were all about decency and normalcy, and normalcy at the time meant heterosexuality. But the stars and the people who ran the town and the people that made the town go had lives like everyone else, and Scotty was the facilitator of people living authentic lives. In addition, as Scotty is tells very well in the film, explores the Vice Squad in L.A. We all know this from movies like L.A. Confidential. The Vice Squad was very, very pernicious and on the make. It was a money-making operation.
It was a money-making.
Very corrupt.
For years after the war, they were red hot in Hollywood.
On the take.
They had Vice Squad, went from bar to bar, up and down the street, two guys busted people for pissing in the alley and things like that, you know, just for indecent exposure. And they say, what do you mean indecent? That's resisting arrest. They got them on two charges already, didn't do a thing.
Huh.
I mean, you said they used to raid parties and take.
Yeah, but they always try to pick someone who had money or the type of job that they would lose immediately. Some mad little queen that said, oh, I'd love to go to jail. They didn't fool with him. They always arrested a teacher or someone that had
it. Someone who would be embarrassed.
Someone whose job would be lost quickly. Mm. And they paid off. Huh. And in those days, Harry Weiss was one of the main attorneys. And Harry would, every party he had would have judges and their wives. So he would get his cases before a judge he knew. And then he would go down and he would get his boys, where he always had a dozen boys, to go out in the hallway and meet the arresting officers and hand them $500 apiece, and they'd disappear. The judge would say, where are the arresting officers? Or they were busy doing some case dismissed. He'd have 10 cases dismissed in an hour that way.
That's brilliant.
That's right.
So, because homosexuality was basically illegal. And
well, it was, but so many people had jobs that it really was illegal. But
right.
I mean, they would lose their job in a minute.
Right.
Because of that.
So because that was legal and so was the sex trade.
Right.
Did that make you or people working this kind of work easy to flow and interact with people who are quite famous because they both are holding a secret?
It does because they can't go out and cruise, right?
Right.
People know who they are. So therefore, everyone they saw had to be someone that would come through somebody like me because of that. And when I fixed them up with people, I fixed them up with... Even the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, I never ever told who they were. I would bring them in from the Pacific Palisades into the Beverly Hills Hotel bungalow, take guys to see me, and even my best friends, I would never mention who they were, because you tell one person, then the word's around.
Wow. I understand Rock Hudson worked before
Rock didn't have a dime. He was living in North Hollywood. They just bought a brand new 1947 Chevrolet, had an Irish setter dog, and the guy he lived with worked in a drive-in, car op, where they, and Rock didn't have a dime. And I said, look, I fixed him up with Cary Grant, Randolph Scott. I fixed him up with people he later worked with for $20.
Well, one of the hardest things when about doing a documentary is you have to find period footage, photos, images, stills. Mm-hmm. How'd you find all the sex stuff?
Because he's on the ball. That's how you found it.
Thank you. Well, actually, we found Scotty is not a saver of personal material. So we actually had to find his trunk, which was several feet into one of his many storage units. And
Is that what the trunk was?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The movie.
Ah. Yeah. And so we found a lot of photos of the gas station boys in the trunk, but Scotty had forgotten about them, number one. Turns out Scotty did a lot of erotic posing in the 50s, which you also really had basically...
George Quaintance, you mean?
Yeah, George Quaintance and other leading underground photographers at the time. Those things kind of burbled up on the internet. And people would say, hey, this looks like Scotty, and would send it in. So we've happened upon a lot of stuff. And then a lot of the erotic photography and film that's in the movie comes from archives of these kind of special, secret, surreptitious porn shoots that happened in what now seems like the antediluvian age.
Right.
But they have a certain look. And
we found loops.
We found one Super 8... a nude movie with Scotty in it, which was pretty special.
No, I saw that.
What was funny, when I think of all the people, when I was at their house or something, they took pictures of me. What became of all those pictures?
They died,
the pictures were thrown away, that was it? You know,
yeah, I'd like to know where they are.
One of the totally unexpected things, I love the movie, one of the most unexpected things were there are all these wild animals crawling around your place.
Yeah.
Up on the deck.
Well, yeah, because when little skunks come, I feed them, and they bring back their little kids, and I feed them, and then the raccoons come and meet the cars. I drive up and wonder where their food is.
There were raccoons, and do you ever get coyotes?
Yeah, remember there was one picture of the coyote?
Yeah.
The coyotes, they're very, very shy coyotes, you know.
And how did you photograph? Did you set up a motion-activated camera or
we
something?
We sat over a little distance away on a step and waited for them to come. And all of a sudden, then Jonas took the picture. There they are now, boom, boom, you know.
Yeah. Scotty, not afraid of a skunk. It made me not afraid of a skunk, too. I think that's the perfect metaphor animal for Scotty. It's like everyone reviles skunks, but Scotty actually welcomes them in.
Yeah. Well, one got in my house and spent 2 days in my
house. Inside?
Oh, inside.
They didn't
Well, my house
is
so full of junk. No, no. And 2 days, I get here. And one morning, I get up. About a third morning, I get up, and she's in the kitchen eating cat food. So I open the door and had her come out the front door, you know.
When Kenneth Anger's book came out, it was banned at first, and they were talking about some of the same people that are in your book. Did you ever have trouble publishing your book? Were you threatened with lawsuits or anything?
No one ever said a thing, actually. And the book got published very quickly with the starting of Gore Vidal, and then David Kuhn, who was there last night. And what happened was, Gore called me. Gore had a copy of the book, like it would, not more or less in the book form, and before it was made a book. And Gore called and said, "I've got a publisher coming for lunch." He said, "I gave them the book yesterday and told him to read it and come to lunch tomorrow, which means you got to read it, right?" And I went over, and the guy says, "I do everything online, and this shouldn't be online, but I'm taking it back to New York with me tonight and giving it to David Kuhn, who's a very sharp, on the ball guy, and do the same thing that Gore did with me, take and read and come to lunch tomorrow." And he called the next day and flew out here the following day. And when they do that, you know the book is on its way, because he wouldn't leave New York and fly out if it weren't. So that went zoom zoom.
You talk about in the film, you talk about J. Edgar Hoover, who was a cross-dresser,
a drag queen.
He was a drag queen. Did he also have sex with any? I mean, do you know anyone who had sex with
him? He always had a young, good-looking FBI agent with him, a young guy, straight. And when I first met him was in La Jolla at a doctor friend of mine who was also a friend of his. And so I'm down there. He dresses like a woman, and my doctor friend dresses like a woman. So the FBI guy and myself are the two guys at the dinner table.
So, and you met him in drag?
Yeah. Well, I spent the weekend with him.
Spent the weekend with him. Okay, because he was in charge of this huge crackdown on gays in Hollywood.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, this is, and this, a lot of people did this thing. It's like a fucking cop arresting people, and the fucking cop is gay. You know, but this is the way people are.
Is there anyone who you still, you don't have to tell it to me, but is there anyone who you still hold a secret on that you don't want to reveal? Or did you tell everything in the book?
No, I could have made the book that thick, but people don't like big, thick books.
Right, right. But is there anyone just because you don't want to tell people about, or it's so long ago it doesn't matter?
Well, no, there's several people who are still living.
Right.
You know, like, I was going to put Betty White in there, and then she was, you know, in love with Alan Ludden.
Right.
And Alan was gay, even though he'd been married before.
Right.
And I remember one time I'm out at the house with Alan, and we heard Betty come, so we were coming out of the bedroom, and she said, "What's Scotty doing here?" And he said he came to look at the tree. She says, "You know, we don't have any trees in the bedroom."
So Betty knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, probably.
But that, one little thing, there's several people who are living
right.
that I didn't mention many because they're still living and
right.
they're friends, you know.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair. This is such a, I could talk to you all day. It's such a great thing. But I just want to say thanks so much for talking with me. It's an amazing movie. So wonderful talking with you. Matt Turnauer and Scotty Bauer, thank you so much. Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood had its world premiere at TIFF and is opening soon in Toronto. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. Scotty got a standing ovation.
And I like the way you talk, too, clear and distinct. No, some people fluff their words, but you talk clear and distinct. You pick up on it completely. That's the way you were making the announcement from the beginning.
Thank you so much. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.